we're not keeping that money. It's going directly to the government.
Hello, welcome to another episode. Today we have a guest. Tara's the founder of Beauty Cult. Hi, Tara. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. That doesn't sound exciting at all.
Yeah, come on, Tara. So yesterday you called me, right? And you wanted me to send out an email to your clients. And I want you to tell us like what led you to that point and painted a picture for us.
So everything, all the prices keep increasing. They've been increasing steadily for the last, well, always. They always increase steadily, but in the last few years, they've increased at a steeper level. And sometimes I guess I was under the understanding that maybe some of it was just kind of a yo-yo, you know, media drawing attention because of
maybe
politics, political rage. And I kind of thought that they might flip-flop a little bit. I thought that maybe just like our dollar gets a little better and then as summer goes in, it goes down, all the travel and the petroleum prices. But I don't think some of these increases are going to yo-yo. I think they're sticking around. And our Canadian versus US or euros is a little better right now, but they're predicting that it's not going to stay. So we had to bite the bullet and increase our prices. So we try not to do that. We know that there's a lot of livelihoods dependent on what we do. And there's a lot of, you know, studios and business owners that we don't like to yo-yo around with their livelihoods or ours, but we had been kind of eating some of the costs. And yesterday it got to the point where we could not do that anymore.
Yeah. I think I just want to fill in a few blanks and like just a little bit of context too. So as a supplier, you bring in products and you bring products from everywhere. You bring in products from Europe and you do bring in products from the United States. And you notice the last shipment that you brought in from the United States that your cost on the like taxes or I don't know how you would, I know that word tariffs is going around, but I mean, there it was labeled differently on your invoice, right?
So I didn't think that they had come into full effect yet. So I was just bringing in small shipments, kind of waiting to see, just bringing in enough to get us by, thinking that maybe they'd harden or do put another pause or do away with it. So I just brought in like a small $2,500 order and $2,500, 25% tariffs on is $1,000. So I got my bill and I see the SEMA tax, which I hadn't really paid attention. I'd never seen it before. So I guess it's a Special Import Measures Act. It's been around for a while, but I hadn't seen it on any of my brokerage invoices before. And yeah, so the 25% tariffs, that's pretty big. And when I reached out, I'm like, is there some kind of, is there a way that we can file to get these back? Is there some kind of, is there certain products that don't apply? And basically what I was told is that this was Canada's direct retaliation to the tariffs for our products crossing the border the other way. And so it was put on.
How much, I want to know, like, just to kind of create a comparison and a visual, if it was like $1,000 now, pre all of this, what would it have been? An estimate.
So it used to be called the NAFTA, so the North American Free Trade Agreement. And I don't know if you've ever heard it being talked about in the news as the worst thing ever. But it got renamed. And depending on which border you live on. So ours, it's called a CUSMA. So C-U-S-M-A. So basically it's Canada, USA, and Mexico. And so usually our duties are pretty low, like the taxes that we pay, like 5, 10% tax when it's coming across the border because of that trade agreement. And then you have your shipping fees and that on top of it. So usually we kind of account for, you know, about 20% to get it to land in here between our freight and the taxes. But then with this new...
But that included everything at that point, right, Tara?
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
this is...
Yeah, so now it's more than bottled in taxes.
Plus the extra, yeah.
I think...
Sorry, wasn't there something about a low-value packaging that they wouldn't tax on if it was low enough bringing it across the border? There was like a little loophole in it.
Yeah, maybe, I think there was something about, what was that on? I think I saw something about $800 US, but I think that could be going the other way. So the products that are coming from here and going south to the US, not the products that are coming from the US to Canada.
Yeah, now it doesn't matter the amount. It's a set tax, an extra 25%.
And it's certain. So when anything crosses the border, they get a code. Like that's your import code. So skincare has its own code. Probably soaps and things have their own code. We bring in, like, for example, we have our facial bed covers that we bring in. Those have a code. And actually that code isn't being taxed with this tariff. This SEMA tax or a certain.
Are you finding it to be products, mainly products?
Products that are originating, like cosmetics that are originating in the US.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then
I just want to paint a picture just because I think in terms of dollars and you're talking in percentage. So I tried to so if you paid $1,000 in this tax or whatever. On 2,500, this is not 25%, it's 40%. I did a calculation. And so if you were paying 20% before, you've doubled. Like this twice as
45.
Much as you are paying. Yeah. So you've gone up to paying 40% taxes on your
product
stuff.
That
originally says like us going to a store and you're buying something for $100, but they charge you $40 tax on top of it. Now you're buying something for $140. Just to kind of paint a picture for the person listening. That how does it, you know, not that it's being passed on to the consumer, but just like that is your reality.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, we're not keeping that money. It's going directly to the government.
That's right.
And to clear that up, government of Canada.
Yeah. And like, I can see in a way it's a retaliation or a deterrent to buying US goods, but being that they are from US and the shipping prices aren't as much because we weren't bringing it from overseas. So the price reflected that. So sometimes those US goods weren't priced as high as European or Australian goods or whatever. So, I mean, even with the increases now, they could be similarly priced to goods that have come a long way. But I think the popularity, they're marketed more for North America.
Yeah.
So there was benefits because they weren't being brought so far. So environmental footprint, the prices were more reasonable because they weren't coming so far. But now I guess they're going to be on par with ones that have come longer distances, I guess.
And the other side of that, too, is that when use skincare, for example, when they're sourcing their ingredients and having to bring it from outside of the U.S. into their products, they are now being taxed as well from the U.S. that way, which reflects the price of the product being manufactured in the U.S. So that might go up still at that
point. So I did have a supplier in the States and some of the implements and tools that we use in the spas and salons, we were getting from the US, but they were getting them from China. So they were originating in China, coming through the US to us. So now that doesn't make sense anymore. We have to try to find a supplier either here in Canada, even though those implements originate in China, not having it go through the US and then here, because the US is taxing it and then we're getting taxed again as it crosses the border. And US has put even higher taxes on China. So we could be paying as much as 125%.
I was going to say they are being dinged harsh.
Yeah.
You're, let's say, perspectively, as Doreen mentioned, the percent is 25 right now between Canada and the US, but China is at 125%. So your equipment, yeah, your tools, all those things you're trying to bring one into.
So I did bring in a small order again. I've been bringing in small orders because as prices increase, are we going to have the same demand? So we're trying to figure out what's happening with our market right now. But on a shipment that I would have paid like $200 in taxes, I paid $800 in taxes.
Wow.
Unfortunately, you've had to make the difficult decision of increasing your prices on the products that you sell to beauty professionals. And I think this trickle down goes beyond, like, the beauty professionals are going to have to increase their prices to offset the increased prices that they're paying. And so the end user, that person going in for a facial or nails or whatever it is, they're the ones that are also going to. So we're all paying for it, basically, while the government fight with each other. Where are the people paying?
I mean, I'm a consumer, too. Like, so many times you go up to the grocery store and you're like, oh, I'm pretty sure it was $2 less last time I was here. And then you go a month later and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it was $4 more a month ago or $4 less. And then we were just talking about this, like, coffee at Costco's now. $10 increase. And you're thinking, oh, Costco, they make lots of money already. Like, why do they keep, but it nothing to do with them. It's a direct, they're being taxed. So we are being taxed. Like, it's not going to that, the person that you're buying it from, it's going to the government. And in the news right now, I know every shop, I mean, we've always tried to, you know, because we're small businesses, we want people to shop local. We want to shop local and on a bigger scale. Like, we want consumers in Canada to buy Canadian goods. Like, it supports our economy, and that's what they're trying to do south of the border right now. We've sold some of these products for like 17, 18 years, and we try not to do the price increases. So that's. But I mean, if you're used to that product, you know that we haven't done all these price increases. It's so in a way, maybe it is what it is, but it is also what's making Canadian goods look a lot better right now, or goods coming from Europe or somewhere else.
Because I mean, you have a variety, though. Like, you have Canadian stuff, you have European stuff, you have U.S. products. And I think at the end of the day, consumers want that variety as well. Now, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it'll benefit the country in the long run, but kind of know what we like. And when we've been using something for a long time.
And the thing is, too, is that this isn't something that is a quick fix. Like, as someone that's importing product in, you're not bringing in three cleansers and a mask and a, right? Like, your amount of quantity that you need to bring in, even though it's a little lower than what you're normally doing right now, trying to watch that, you're still sitting on that product. So that 25% is still on that. So it's not going to change, you know, down the road until, like, that snowball effect, I guess you could say, when you're hanging on to the product and all of a sudden the government's, you know, next week says they stop fighting over this, as we'd like to call it. And they say, okay, we'll stop now. But you still paid that. You can't take that away because it's still in it's what you paid for. Going forward in the future, that might change. But while you sit on the product and supplies you have, that price stays at that increase because you can't absorb that. Well, not anymore, right, Tara?
That's right.
And you've been absorbing it.
I mean, we are consumers too, as well as distributors. And I don't take it lightly it's time consuming to be increasing the prices. We're on multiple platforms, having to go in and manually change. And then every one of our accounts has their own sale platform or whatever, and their stickers on their products or whatever. Like, it's time consuming. So we definitely, We don't do an increase every year. We don't take it lightly when we do have to do it. Push came to shove. You can't just
What are some, have you thought about like some solutions moving forward or strategy, do you think, that we could help the beauty professionals right now?
So we do have bulk discounts. So when you buy in like multiples, that you get discounts. So, I mean, if the market's still there and you're still selling to your customers, that would be the best way to, it'll go back to where the price was before.
Right.
Before the increase, if you do buy in multiples. Yeah, like right now we're just waiting to kind of to see what's going to happen with the market. Like, just like we're checking labels at Costco, are people going to be, that we're always using U.S. goods? Are they going to change? We're bringing in smaller quantities right now. We're just wait to see how it balances out. But it's, you know, a little scary when all of a sudden it becomes unpredictable.
Well, it's that supply chain, right? Like when they talked about, if we go back a few years ago, when they were saying how much it was going to cost because they were limiting how many transportation could cross the borders. I'll bring up COVID shutdown, right? They're really limiting it, which drove the cost up in all of our foods through that time, right? So when there's a cost to the supply chain, it, in the end, us, the consumer or the beauty professional in that matter, and then the person at the end of that service buying the cleanser at a retail, it will affect everyone in that supply chain. I think that's what people need to understand how this works. It's not because, you know, Beauty Co-op Canada is just going to increase their prices and take advantage of the fight going on between the countries. It's not about.
Well, and then instead of bringing in like a $25,000 order, I'm bringing in $5,000 order. Cosmetic skincare expires and we like to have it fresh.
Yeah.
Where it's turning over constantly. So you're bringing in small quantities, now your shipping rates go up. So.
Well, and then also too, on that note, you could sell out faster and the people need to wait for the product.
Yeah. But which.
So here's another side. I mean, you're still pretty good about doing that, but there's still a little bit of that. So people need to plan ahead so they're not out of their product either.
And then Canada has stricter regulations, but US is becoming stricter with their regulations too. So there's been some reformulations, some changes.
Were you talking ingredient wise? The ingredients of the regulations? Yeah. Interesting.
I think for beauty professionals, they're going to see these price increases. It's not just going to be from your district. It's going to be across the board from distributors, wherever they get their product. And I think it's knowing that this is going to happen and then having to take the steps to in turn increase their prices and doing that knowledgeably and then being able to explain to their clients, this is what's like you said, the supply chain. I've increased it because now my cost has gone up and there because my distributor's cost has gone up in a way. I don't know. But finding a way to just bring that into the conversation, if possible, just giving a warning or just, I don't know, letting people know it's going to trickle down to the end user and the esthetician or beauty professional can't absorb the price. She or he is going to have to then pass it on to their customers as well, but with an explanation.
I think too, on this one, offering some advice to the professionals out there, it's a little different when Tara's saying that she has to send an email to everybody, right? This is a rapport building industry with your clients, a relationship. So you might want to have these conversations starting now if you're planning to raise it, say, June 1st. So all the clients coming through, your regulars, have that conversation with them and say, you know what? Unfortunately, prices have already started to increase. I've been absorbing that increase and I can't do it anymore. It's just not making this affordable to me anymore because it's all platforms. Use those stories like we shared about the Costco big coffee pods, right? It's gone up by 25%. Normally, yearly, you're probably looking at what, an average of 2.5 to 5% maybe. Is that fair to say, Tara, in the industry normally?
Yeah, most distributors, it's like annually, every year it goes up to usually about 2%.
Right.
But so it is something recently, it's been sometimes per month. The last couple of years, we've had increases of 5% annually. And we still did not pass that on. we thought, you know, when our dollar gets better, we try to leave room for fluctuations and bringing stuff in larger quantities, and with our dollar getting better, and we always want to pass on the savings to our customers. Mm-hmm. So we, as it fluctuates, we kind of leave room so that throughout the year, it'll kind of level out. But
on your end, yeah.
Yeah, but the way that it's going, like we will probably have to do an increase right across the board, and we'll probably have to follow suit and do it more often.
Yeah, your hands are tied right now with this going on. But I think too, like if start having the conversation, people will start reacting a little bit to it because it's in everything right now. In all it of is. Us as a consumer, it doesn't matter if it's the food that's being imported in or whatever it may be. But I think if you start having that gentle conversation with your clients moving forward, let them know that you're probably better off doing a small increase. Say we're in May right now, so give them warning for June, and then a small increase maybe again in the fall. But you don't want to be going 25% higher on everything because you're hearing that the tariff charge, that's a huge and you're going to lose your clients on an amount like that.
We didn't do that. We didn't increase it 25%. Some things we had to go as much as 10%, but it's also because we annually weren't increasing like everyone else was. So
yeah, I meant the professional right now talking to their clients is what I'm referring. Yeah.
I know I've told this story many times, but when I first got introduced to professional skincare, I thought, wow, like, why do people pay that much money for products? But it wasn't until I started using it that I realized that it lasts a long time because it's more concentrated. And really, I was only buying it twice a year. So in the spring, I would buy my birthday's around then. So I would buy it then and then again for Christmas. And when you break it down over the year or the months, like we spend way more money on coffee. We spend way more money on frivolous things. You know, you buy things, you're like, oh, a dollar store or whatever it is. Oh, it's only $2. It's only $2. And we're kind of that, you know, that kind of consumer, like on waste, kind of wasteful things. Whereas skincare, I mean, it's the largest organ. It's the first thing people see. And I realized that, like, it became really important to me. It was the one thing that I thought, oh, I can't go without that. Like, that's all I wanted for my birthday. That's all I wanted for Christmas. And, you know, if you broke it down over the years and how long it lasts, and then little tips and techniques that your esthetician can give to you, like putting your product on skin that's damp, it's going to soak in right away. You're not going to use as much. Your skin can absorb it better. And just kind of sticking to your routine, not being wasteful, you know.
That's a good point that professionals are looking at some creative ways to help their customers, their clients at home, helping them with tips so that they continue that routine. It'll be interesting how it ends up impacting the beauty industry across Canada. But yeah, I think if we start looking at that as professionals and start thinking out, COVID taught us that, right? Like we had to start thinking differently. And some people are really creative with it. There might be a little more educational side that you can offer your clients that maybe you weren't offering as much so that they feel value in that and why they want to stick with you as a professional, right?
I think, you know, with lots of things, you think more is better, but there's actually only so much that your skin can absorb. So the rest is wasting. Yep. So if you're going through it too fast, like hopefully your esthetician will say, okay, what are you doing? You can't eat it. Like slow down. Like it should be lasting you this long. Like, you know, and then kind of look at your year spending. It's probably not increasing that much overall.
There's so many times we take our cream, we apply it right here, and then we don't have enough to get everywhere. So it's like we have to gentleize and spread it out, and then
you're not supposed to go like this.
Yeah, and then over the head, right?
Over your head.
Yeah, I know. If anyone knows Kara, this was really difficult for her to do. She held off for a long time. This isn't the first time we had a conversation about this. This was months ago already, folks. So, but we had to bring it forward, and more professionals are noticing increases, not just from, you know, Beauty Cult Canada as a buyer. It's everywhere. Yeah. And I think we just want to come on here and really explain why it's trickling down the way it is. It's that supply chain, and it's just not going to
cost the wrong goods, like wherever they're coming.
Yeah.
What's up?
And also, I know since COVID, I know so many companies that it's just been such a battle and they just couldn't do it anymore. And
there's a few lines that have actually decided to out.
Yeah. And they're like multi-generational companies that have been doing it a long time. And they're like, we're just so frustrated. We don't want to do it anymore.
If people look at it this way, so we're in Edmonton, if any of our listeners are listening right now, there have been some like 40, 50 year generational restaurants that have not recouped since like the whole COVID. They've shut their doors now. It's so sad to see it because it's not that the families weren't continuing with their business. They've literally just seen the costs have continually increased their supply chain, right? Or sourcing out the goods, where they're getting it from, and all the extra taxes and stuff that happened.
Well, and then all the platform, like Skip the Dishes and all that. Like we've been in and out of restaurants before.
Yeah.
And they used to take like a low percent, and now sometimes it's 30%. And you can't not be on those platforms because it's advertising everyone else's. And if you're not a presence on there, but like then if your food cost is so high, you're not making any money.
It's interesting because, and this might not sound very nice, but if it's a, I don't want to say mom and pop shop kind of style, but a local restaurant, generational, that type of thing, I'll physically go drive there to get it, to pick it up. But if it's a big franchise, like, I don't want to say any, but you know what they are. They're very wealthy. Then you can do it because they can afford to absorb a little bit of that cost because they're making a lot of money. But maybe think about your local little bakeries, your coffee places, you know, the little restaurants that are around that are, you know, like you said, generational, keep their costs lower. I think COVID helped with that to understand. It helped me anyways to rethink that value and go, oh yeah, I never thought about all that. So, you know, maybe that's a way to look at the beauty industry too and start looking at where are you shopping. What are you looking at? Not to put any of the big importers down or anything, but maybe people look at it at the little distribution place that's been around for 30 years or 20 or whatever it may be. It might be a different way to look at it. All right. Well, that was a fun chat.
Thanks for coming on, Tara.
Yeah, it's a fun topic.
Yeah, I know.
We'll do a lighter one next time.
Yeah.
But the other side of that, just mentioning what I will say on behalf of Beauty Cult Canada, is if you are struggling, you're having any challenges, things like that, reach out to have conversations because in the end, we're pretty creative with our accounts, helping them through, especially these types of things, the best that we can. So we'd make some good suggestions, work with you. And then you decide to take the, you know, the feedback or information with you and figure it out, see if it's actually something that'll work for you too.
Yeah, that's right. Because we've been on both ends. We understand, you know, struggles, time's going by so fast. And sometimes it gets to the end of the month and you're like, oh, what did I even do? Where did the time go?
Yes.
Why are things not making sense, you know?
Perfect. Well, thank you for listening and Tara for joining us today. See you guys all next time.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.